living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
Okay, so I want to talk now about, I think, what is a very important topic, the latest in Alzheimer's research. You know, there's new discoveries going on in Alzheimer's disease, ultimately why it develops and why it happens, but you don't necessarily hear about some of these in the mainstream news shows and health shows. My guest is Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. He's author of several books, and in my opinion, he's really one of the leading integrative physicians that we have in this country. Dr. Teitelbaum, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Dr. Mike, awesome to be with you. I think we have a mutual admiration society here. You do excellent work as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Let's get right into this. You know, we don't have a lot of time, and I know you break up Alzheimer's research into three broad categories. You talk about biochemistry, you talk about genetics, and then you talk about, of course, the important modifiable risk factor. So let's go through each one of those quickly and highlight some of the big things going on. And let's start with biochemistry and Alzheimer's. What's going on there, understanding the biochemistry of this disease?
Well, for those of you who have a loved one with Alzheimer's or who are developing it yourself, it's important to understand what drives the research. And a big part of this is basically they're looking for drugs that can modify something that can be the next multi-billion dollar hit. But they're only looking for things that are patentable and expensive. So most of the focus right now is on, we see when you do autopsy, you see the beta amyloid deposition, the fibrillary tangles, and what's called tau protein that gets deposited in the brain. And that is felt to damage the brain tissues, although other people think that that's more like a Band-Aid that the body is putting there. So much of the drug company or standard research is looking at how to attack using antibodies or how to slow the deposition of these two proteins. Second key area of research looks at energy metabolism within the cells. Okay. And I think this is a very, very powerful one, figuring that the amyloid is damaging our body's energy furnaces or mitochondria. So looking at how to help restore that by looking at free radical prevention, looking at energy increase. And to me, that's a very promising area.
Let me ask you something, Dr. Teitelbaum, just real quick before you go on the third thing. Let's back up for a sec to the tau proteins, the amyloid beta proteins, because you said something interesting. You know, the pharmaceutical companies, you know, they're focusing a lot of research on the removal of that protein. But a lot of the studies, isn't this true that when you look at just removal of the protein, that the cognitive restoration is not quite what we would think it should be when you
absolutely
just focus on removal of those proteins. Is that correct?
Absolutely so. Basically, the body, it's just like calcium deposition in joints. That's not the problem. That's a Band-Aid that our body puts there in response to inflammation. And I think that my impression is that that's what's going on also, that the amyloid and tau proteins are being placed there in response to another problem. Now, those themselves then cause problems as well. So they may have some modest effects, but basically, they're chasing after the smoke instead of putting out the fire. I totally agree.
Okay. Good point. Yeah, I like that. So now you said something interesting in there, too, about the mitochondria. So is there some research pointing to the fact that maybe what we're dealing with here is a mitochondrial disorder in brain cells?
Yes, but as a secondary effect. Basically, the amyloid triggers free radical production. We talk about antioxidants, so these are oxidants that damage the mitochondria that are very sensitive to that. So, again, I think this is a downstream effect, but it's one effect that I think has a major impact on function. So where I think chasing the protein, I don't want to say is a silliness, but I'm not impressed with that line of research. I think things that can improve function while we figure out the root cause is valuable, and optimizing mitochondrial function is a big piece of that.
Oh, good. So things like CoQ10, antioxidants important to the mitochondria, maybe even PQQ, pyroloquinoline quinone, which we talk about here at Life Extension, that helps to produce more mitochondria. All those may play a role someday, or maybe even today, for Alzheimer's patients.
Ribose, acetyl-L-carnitine, magnesium, B vitamins, they don't have to be fancy things. It's funny, you know,
in
the health industry, we like to focus on the things that are fancy and expensive, but magnesium and B vitamins, major
simple,
impact.
Right?
and optimize consumption and cheap.
Cheap, right? Overall, really cheap stuff and with great impact. So let's go. So that's some of the biochemistry research going on. What about any genetic research? Any new markers that we've discovered that maybe can predict Alzheimer's in the future in patients?
There's a host of things. There's one interesting study looking at 10 lipid markers that had a very high sensitivity and specificity, about 90% for both, for predicting who was going to get Alzheimer's and not. That still has to be polished and made more reliable and doable. That will probably be used more in studies where they're looking to prevent Alzheimer's and find medications and things with that. In real life, though, the main things they're looking at are the APOE genetics, and that is so insensitive. I mean, many people have that. They never get Alzheimer's. Many people with Alzheimer's don't have the problem. So I think that we're going to find that it's not a single gene, as with many other problems.
Okay.
There's going to be a host of different defects that can have a common endpoint.
You know, so that's interesting. With the, let's make sure the listeners understand it. So the Apple A4 allele, it's an Apple protein. It's a specific kind that has been linked or associated with an increased risk of Alzheimer's. But you're saying that it's kind of a loose association. Well, what about a lot of these genetic companies that are doing this type of testing, the Apple A4 allele? Apple E4 allele. Do you think that people could be wasting their money if they're doing that type of genetic testing right now?
It depends on how they're doing it. The problem is to simply be afraid for the purpose of being afraid, which is very, very popular in our society. It used to be, I still remember when I was a kid, the advertising executive's mantra was sex sells. And now it's fear sells. So if the genetic testing is used to look at, okay, everybody has certain vulnerabilities and strengths, we want to go ahead and shore up the vulnerabilities. It doesn't mean you're going to get Alzheimer's. Most people with this don't get Alzheimer's. But you want to add some curcumin, other things we'll talk about, that have a good preventive thing. Then I think those tests can be valuable. But the way they're currently used, which is in many cases is just to scare people to death and then make them afraid and say, here's 80 things you can't eat anymore. It's just, I think it's unhealthy. It's also dishonest.
Okay.
So I'm not a big fan of those yet.
I see that. And so the genetic testing really, although it might give some information, it could be misleading, but it misses this third area of research that I know you talk about mostly. It's these modifiable risk factors. You want to talk a little bit about that? Because I think these are things that we can focus on right now, right? That we can correct either through nutrition, food, supplement, you know, whatever it may be, and have good impact, right? So what are some of these modifiable factors that impact Alzheimer's?
Well, number one, the obvious thing, when it comes to the body, body has a use it or lose it approach to efficiency. So if you don't use your mind, you're likely to lose it. Simple things like exercise, doing crossword puzzles are the classic example, or I like to do the word games on my iPhone. But other simple things to optimize function. And this third area is where the mana is. This is where there's major benefit that people can get today, where the first two areas are really mostly areas that people are looking to make big profits on in the companies, and they're not very useful.
Let's do this, Dr. Teitelbaum. Let's do this. We have to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to segue from these modifiable risk factors into what you call the mind protocol for Alzheimer's and dementia. Is there a website that we can send listeners to, by the way, real quick?
Endfatigue.com, ENDFATIGUE, or the iPhone and Android app Cures A-Z.
Gotcha. Okay, so when we come back, we'll talk more about what we can do to start solving this problem. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.